talking about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Friday. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. Well, it's a little warmer today. Not by much, according to the wind chill, but a little warmer today. The winds are out of the south. 30 degrees, wind chill's 20. The wind's out of the south at 12 miles an hour, gusting up to 17, and our humidity's 27. And I'll have your Long Ranger forecast later on in the show. Before I get started with my normal routine, I got to announce a couple things. On Paragon TV, at the Shortgrass Classic, Elk City versus Star Spencer on the boys will be at 2:30, and it'll also be on Cool 94. On the Bi-County, Hammond versus Merritt Girls will be at 6 p.m., and that'll be on 98.1 KDS. And then also on the Bi-County, Merritt versus Ceiling on the boys' side will be 98.1 also on KDS. You can hear those live on Cool. The Elk City versus Star Spencer boys will be on the Cool 94, and the Hammond versus Merritt girls 98.1 KDS, and the Merritt versus the Ceiling boys will be on 98.1 KDS also. So there you go, and I'll announce that later on in the show at the end in case somebody misses it. But I got so much to do today that it's not even funny. So we'll better get started. And I want to send a big shout out to the people who called and text to check in on me with my bovine injury that I got. It's not any better today. Might be a little bit worse, but I'm looking forward to tomorrow. Because tomorrow I should start turning around. It's not even bruising yet, so it must have been deep. But thanks, everybody, for checking in on me. I appreciate that a lot. Anyway, grain prices are slightly up. Hard red winter wheat's at $7.61. Corn's at $6.11. Milo's at $6.09. And soybeans are at $13.51 a bushel. And cotton's hanging in there, $1.22. Man, I'm happy for everybody on the cotton part. So, anyway, hopefully it stays there. Anyway, soybean and corn futures fell in overnight trading as rain in Argentina is expected to improve crops prospects. Rain fell in parts of the South American country and will continue through the first half of next week. Hopefully they'll send some of that up to us. So anyway, still drought conditions continue in about 25% of Brazil, 70% of Paraguay. Those showers are expected to expand next week. Temperatures in southern Brazil are forecast to hit triple digits. We'll add crop stress until the rains move in next week. Wheat futures were lower in overnight trading as some investors who were long on the market or bet on higher prices sold contracts and booked profits after prices hit the highest in 3 weeks. Prices have been rising amid drought and cold weather in the United States Southern Plain, but some technical selling took place in the overnight session. Tensions between Russia and Ukraine, two of the world's largest exporters of the grain, also underpinning wheat prices. Soybean futures for March delivery fell 7.5 cents to $14.18 a bushel. Overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade, soy meal lost $4.30 to $396.50 a short ton, and soybean oil futures added 0.25 cents to $0.6313 a pound. Corn futures for March delivery fell 3 cents to $6.08 a bushel. Wheat for March delivery lost 6.5 cents to 7 $7.83 a bushel overnight, while Kansas City fell 4.5 cents to $7.92 a bushel. Ethanol production surged to a three-week high. Ethanol output jumped to a three-week high in 7 days. It ended on January 14, and stocks surged as the highest in 11 months, according to the Energy Information Administration. Production of biofuel increased to an average of 1.053 million barrels a day. That's up from 1.006 barrels the previous week, the highest levels the week that ended on December 24th. In the Midwest, by far the biggest producing region, output was at 994,000 barrels a day, and that was up from 947,000 barrels last week. West Coast production went to an average of 9,000 barrels a day. That's up from 8,000 last week. Gulf Coast output was unchanged at 25,000 barrels a day, and the East Coast production remained at an average of 11,000 barrels a day. Rocky Mountain production fell 14,000 barrels a day on average from 15,000 last week. Ethanol stockpiles, meanwhile, surged to 23.592 million barrels in the week ending January 14th. That's up from 22.91 million barrels a week earlier. And there you got it on the ethanol. Well, winter weather advisories are in effect for much of the western Dakotas this morning as snow and ice are falling, according to the National Weather Service. Snow accumulations are expected to total about an inch, while ice will coat surfaces. A light coating of ice will form on roads and bridges, and it will make travel hazardous. Wind chill advisories are still in effect in much of Minnesota, western Wisconsin, and almost all of Iowa today. So if you're heading that direction, get ready. Take your long underwear with you. Values are expected to fall as low as minus 35 in central Iowa this morning. Frostbite could occur in 10 minutes, but I'm going to go with the 5-minute deal. In north central Oklahoma, meanwhile, a wind chill advisory is in effect this morning as wind chills overnight dropped as low as minus 8. I think we got down to minus 3 at my house. But anyway, that's that report. Well, I got lots of things to talk about after this break here. I'm going to update you on a federal court ruling in Galveston, Texas, on the federal mandate that President Biden put on all federal employees to be vaccinated. So got some news on that, which is good. Also, I got some news from the Conservation District over here at Sayre, which pertains to all of southwestern Oklahoma. I'll have that news for you. I got all kinds of good stuff. I got cattle market reports from Woodward yesterday and Hobart Wednesday. Cattle's hanging in there, especially those lightweights, man. There was some bringing up to 230 a pound, weighing almost 400 pounds. So anyway, don't miss that. And we got all kinds of good stuff to talk about. So anyway, I'll be right back after this. It's the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
This standards map currently is the world's largest database for all the sustainability standards. Most importantly, it has over 300 standards for environmental protection, worker rights, economic development, and food safety and quality. It gives brands and retailers around the world a greater choice when it comes to sourcing a sustainably grown raw material like cotton. To be included, any organization, they must address at least one pillar of sustainable development. So with Trust Protocol as part of its core program, it's focused on continuous improvement of 6 key environmental metrics like your land use, soil carbon, water management, soil loss, greenhouse gas emissions, and energy efficiency. In addition, it also addresses the social aspect from worker well-being to farm safety. In simple terms, it adds credibility, and most importantly, we have been transparent, especially now in a time of increased scrutiny on the supply chain. Our customers, brands and retailers, they face challenges in keeping track of all the sustainability initiatives and meeting the requirements. So with Trust Protocol being included in the standards map, it adds more verification and mapping so that those companies or brands and retailers can make better decisions about certification, choosing the correct sustainable production of the raw material.
My background is in AI service. If you're doing that, you're more progressive. You're not going to the sale barn and buying a bull for the cheapest you can get. You're searching for better genetics. You're searching for a better quality product. Just like, do you go down to the used car store and buy the car with all the dents and dings, or do you want the new car? We decided we'd start building our own pretty vehicles rather than going paying the price for the pretty vehicle. B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com. You can find us on Facebook by searching B&L Red Angus.
Are you in the market to buy or sell cattle? Then don't miss Hobart Stockyard's weekly cattle sale in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale's every Wednesday at 9:30 a.m. Buyers can bid in person or online. To consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. That's 580-331-8547. Be sure and check out the market reports and each week's penny news. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Great news, folks. Ron Hayes here to let you know SEI Agritech in Elk City is now your livestock nutrition center dealer. This is better quality feed and minerals for your cattle, horses, sheep, and goats. Plus, at SEI Agritech, you can buy everything from bulk to 50-pound bags. Call or go see SEI Agritech today about your feed and mineral needs. Their number, 580-225-0317. 580-225-0317. Better feed, better results.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Welcome back. 30 degrees, wind chills 20, winds are still out of the southeast. Now gusts, they're 13, now gusting up to 20, so it's starting to get a little breezy out there. But, man, it looks good. After today, temperatures start warming back up, which is a good thing. Well, in Galveston this morning, in the United States District Court for the Southern District of Texas, the Galveston Division, they call it, the Feds for Medical Freedom, who is the plaintiff, so I'm going to go out on them and say them are federal employees, filed a petition against President Joe Biden on his Executive Order 14043. And amounts to, that's one that mandate that all federal employees consent to vaccination against COVID-19 or lose their jobs. Because the president's authority is not that broad, the court will enjoin the second order's enforcement. The court notes on the outset that this case is not whether folks should get vaccinated against COVID-19. The court believes they should. It's not even about the federal government's power exercised properly to mandate vaccination of its employees. It is instead about whether the president can, with the stroke of a pen and without the input of Congress, require millions of federal employees to undergo a medical procedure as a condition of their employment. That, under the current state of law, is just recently expressed by the Supreme Court, is a bridge too far. So in response to the COVID-19 pandemic, the Biden administration has put out four mandates requiring vaccination in various contexts. Earlier this month, the Supreme Court ruled on challenges on two of those mandates. For one, a rule issued by the OSHA concerning businesses with 100 or more employees. And then the second one was issued by the Secretary of Health and Human Services concerning healthcare facilities receiving Medicare and Medicaid funding. So that the court will allow that mandate to still be in effect. So anyway, it's good news. Nobody should be forced to do anything. And shout out to the people who filed this lawsuit against the president. Whether you like the president or not, he honestly, in my book, he doesn't have the authority to do that. But anyway, I'm not a lawyer, so that's the way that goes. So yay, I'm happy. That means our FSA for now, FSA and NRCS and our USDA, just USDA employees all the way around, shouldn't be affected by this now for a while anyway, until something else happens. So we'll keep you updated on that. So anyway, that's a great, great thing. Well, another thing that just come to me from the North Fork of the Red River Conservation District over at Sayre. Let me get to it. I got so many things going on today. There's a program, and they are targeting southwestern Oklahoma irrigated farmers that irrigate. How's that? Let's go with that. Farmers who irrigate. So anyway, if the producers attend every meeting and purchase anything related to water conservation, then they can get reimbursed through their local conservation district. The registration fee is $100, and that's to cover lunch, snacks, and printed materials for the 4 days. And here's what it is. It's called the Master Irrigator. About this program, it's put on by OSU. Oklahoma State University has initiated a Master Irrigated program to provide advanced training on irrigation water management, irrigation system and equipment maintenance, energy conservation, water conservation and quality, and economics of irrigated agriculture. The program includes classroom training, peer-to-peer exchange of information between producers, field demonstrations, and free-of-charge services such as energy audits through mobile irrigation laboratories. The instructors include extension specialists, irrigation specialists, and economists from OSU and adjoining states, producers, crop consultants, and NRCS personnel. The first program was launched in Oklahoma in January of 2021. The second one will be held, this one I'm talking about, will be held at Altus in southwest Oklahoma, January and February of this year. The registration for the Master Irrigator program in Altus is now open. I think they have room for 25 people, and last email I got, they have 13 signed up. So easy to sign up, and I will let you know how to as soon as I get to it. Just get on the OSU Extension page and go to Master Irrigator, and then you can get on there and you can contact Summit Sharma, and she's with the Department of Plant and Soil Sciences, and she's the one that, and there's a registration page on there too where you can tab on register. It's a big orange one. Imagine that on an OSU page. Big orange one. You can tab on that. So irrigators, here's you a chance to learn some stuff. And if you're getting ready to improve nozzles and other stuff to your irrigation on your pivots and stuff, it might be a good chance to get some of your money back. So it might be worth spending a few days down there at Altus. So there you have that. Our text line is open. Our KCO Ag text line is 580-225-9697. Got any questions? Oh, yeah. Yesterday, I had Bray on here, and guess what happened to the Cattlemen's Congress yesterday? They were voted the best of the barns, best of the majors livestock show overall in the United States of 2021, the Cattlemen's Congress was, and it was like almost 11,000 votes in on this deal. So anyway, in reserve was Louisville, and for the second overall, I guess you can call it the reserve show. And so that's great. That's awesome. We need something like that in Oklahoma, and them guys are doing a great job up there. So anyway, congratulations to the Cattlemen's Congress for being best of the show and best of the barns in the United States for 2021. That's awesome. So there you have it on that. And then where are we at here? Let's just go back here. I got done with the judge. Yes, if you guys haven't yet, please like and follow the KECO 96.5 Facebook page. There's a major change happening with our Facebook page, and there's so much information on there. If you're at work and you don't have a chance to listen to the radio and stuff like that, you can go on Facebook page and find everything we've had on the radio today. For example, the community calendar and events for Jared Athan is on there. Local news with Jared Athan. He does a wonderful job. There's a story on everything that's happening out here, and so he does a really good job with that. And then there's me every morning about 7:02. I do the 2-minute daily agriculture update with your markets and stuff. And then we got Skinny on the report, sports. Aaron Skinny Cout is doing your local high school, college, and national sports reports. And then we got our live radio shows, which is the early morning show, Exploring Energy, and Today in Ag, live and on demand. And then there's always the Penny News weather report. So please like and follow us on Facebook, and there's no telling what you'll find on there, but it's all going to be good. So anyway, I'd appreciate that. So like that, like us on Facebook. Easy to do. Just get on there and hit the big thumbs up button, and you're good to go. And hope you guys all got your new copy of the Penny News that came out yesterday. It's got all kinds of great deals in there, and of course, on page 4 and 5, there's the Today in Ag pages with me with my tip of the week. And then we have all the last week's stockyard reports, live cattle auctions and stuff like that. Speaking of that, when I come back, I'll give you guys some updates on the Woodward and Hobart Market. And Elk City Livestock Auction is happening right now. So get on out there and watch some of the calves sell and see what they're bringing. And buy lunch while you're there. Those ladies put on a really good lunch. And then Monday, we'll have Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction. And then Tuesday morning, I'll have you update on your cattle reports, sales reports on that. And like I said, the lighter calves are doing super good right now. And they're all doing really good right now. So anyway, we'll be right back after this. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, January 14th. 1,850 head were sold. 7 head of steers at 371 brought 221. 8 at 544 brought 185. 19 at 588 brought 172.50. 12 at 683 brought 160.50. 13 at 795 brought 157.25. 23 head of heifers at 428 brought 179. 16 at 550 brought 156.50. 13 at 621 brought 156.50. 6 at 706 brought 152.50. 11 at 758 brought 145.50. Butchered cows were 15 to 74, butcher bulls 55 to 105.50, bred cows 400 to 1325, pairs brought 1400 to 1535. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
In this area, a lot of people wean their calves off their cows in the fall. Wheat's planted in the fall, and they buy calves. They take them to the sale barn or maybe private treaty. They run them through the winter on wheat. And some sell in March before they cut their wheat. Some take them through May and graze out their wheat and sell them in May or run them through grass in the summer. I have cattle. The guys I work with, they have cattle. I'm a fourth generational rancher. I'm Monty Carlson, and I help make a difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
Today in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
Push that red button and you can hear me. All right, 31 degrees, it's warming up. 21 wind chill, wind still out of southeast, 12 to 16 miles an hour. All right, hey, I got a couple sets of tickets to give away to the Frontsman of the Country Tour coming to Sugar Creek Casino Saturday, January 29th. That'll be a week from tomorrow. Show's at 8 p.m., the doors open at 7. Richie McConnell, Larry Stewart, and Tim Ruslow make up the Frontsmans. And they were with, Richie's with Lone Star, Larry's with Restless Heart, and Tim's with formerly of Little Texas. Man, you talk about three great voices to go enjoy a concert. So my question will be, and I'll take the first couple of texters into the text line. I want you to text in, what's your favorite sale barn, whether it's Woodward, Hobart, Elk City, Western Oklahoma, OKC West, Hollis. Text me in that with your name. Don't forget your name, because if you just text in the sale barn, you're a loser. So anyway, text that in, and I got two pairs of tickets to give out to you to go see this next Saturday at the Sugar Creek Casino, and that's going to be a great concert. Them three guys there got amazing voices. Anyway, well, speaking of the livestock barns, Stockyards at Hobart had their sale Wednesday. And I'll briefly go over some of what the weights and the money was bringing. 200 to 300 pound weights were bringing up to 225. 300 to 400 was bringing 212 to up to 212.54 on the average. 400 to 500 were 219, and 5 to 600 were 174. And that was on steers. Well, on at Woodward yesterday, they had their calf sale. They had 4,675 head, looks like. And this time last year, they had 3,490. So, man, text line's going crazy. I can't wait to look at this year. I'm not going to announce the winner till after the next break. So you guys just be cool. You guys stay here and listen to me. On the steers, they had some 384 weights, brought 218.15. And some of the 300 weights were bringing up to 227. 481 was bringing $1.98.15. Some of those were in the 209 category in the 400 weights. 523 steers brought $199.05. 616 brought $1.77. 724 weights brought $1.62.99. 8 weights, 160.20, 9 weights, 152, and then their 1,000 weights were 150, somewhere in the 130, in their 1,000 weights and over was 139 to 150, so that's really good. And then on the heifers, we got some 372s brought $1.84, 419s brought $1.63, 519s $1.61, 629 $1.54.39. 7 weight heifers were bringing $152.53. 8 weight heifers brought $1.48.30. 9 weights were bringing $1.35. And I don't know, they had some bulls here. But these were the weight range on the bulls. Medium and large was $4.85, brought $1.90. 500 weights brought $1.83, and that was unweaned. And they had some 590s there, brought $1.63, unweaned. And 642 bulls brought $1.55. And more bulls here. Then they had some 469s, unweaned, brought $1.61. So there you go. There's your updates on the Woodward Livestock Auction. And then here we go. The beef consumer of tomorrow is evolving. I thought this was a really good article. Consumers still like beef at the center of their plates. Amen. But these needs are evolving, explained Danette Amstein of the Media Marketing, or Maiden Marketing. By understanding those changes, cattle producers can adjust their production practices, marketing to be better to meet them. She said that the consumer insights at the Kansas Livestock Auction meeting in December, the first step to understand the five different types of meat consumers. Protein, progressive, typical, are after the younger guys, like Generation X or the millennials. They like our product, but they like to eat all the proteins. They're looking for an adventurous meal, and to keep them engaged with beef, we must provide them with that adventure. Number two, family first food lovers are those who pay attention to the health and wellness product claims that they're buying. But their most important goal every day is to sit down with the family at the table. She's more interested in our natural and organic type products that we have available to her. Aging traditionals are the loyal consumers of beef who don't believe it's a real meal until there's a hunk of meat sitting in the center of the plate. I think I fall in that category. I love my beef, man. It's all there is to it. They aren't really paying attention to all the hoopla that they just want a good steak. They're really important, but this is also a shrinking group. Convenience chasers is number four, are focused on getting the meal to the table the quickest and least expensive way possible. They're focusing more on value and efficiency to keep them engaged with their tight attention span. Beef marketing has to up its game. We have to grab her attention as quickly as we can to keep her talking about beef and keep her engaged with us. Number five, wellness. Quite honestly, don't want to eat beef. If they are eating beef, they're looking for an extreme amount of claims on it, she added. They're more likely to eat chicken and plant-based alternatives. When the segmentation research was first conducted in January of 2019, the largest group was the convenience chasers. But then the pandemic hit, and suddenly more people were staying at home and needing to juggle homeschooling of their children, working from home, and just trying to find products on the shelves, on the cases, or cases in the cases at their grocery store. Retail versus food service. Before the pandemic, 59% of consumers were ordering takeout from a restaurant. But when restaurants had to shut down, those consumers began purchasing more from retail. The higher quality meat from the bulk food service sector to the retail sector, and consumers are still demanding it at the grocery store. That provides an opportunity for cattle producers selling direct to the consumer. Man, I've been preaching that. I made the news again. As well as to garner more value of the beef products they sell. Newfound skills. She said shoppers were forced to learn new cooking methods during the height of the pandemic. Air fryer purchases were huge, she added, and searches for new recipes grew. And I'll go with that because I was finding all kinds of great recipes on social media and YouTube. So today, 81% of consumers are still cooking at home, a huge behavioral change that cattle producers can capitalize on with education and marketing outreach efforts geared to the new chef learning new skills. Online purchases, 57% of the consumers reported they purchased meat and chicken online in March of 2021. Before the pandemic, people would purchase groceries except their meat online for pickup or delivery. They wanted to do that themselves. Then consumers were forced to give up that privilege, and guess what? They kind of like it. More than half of the consumers are continuing to allow online services select their meat purchases, and that opens up the avenue for meat marketing. And we have some people around here in our listening area, processors and some people like Tucker Farms out there at Sweetwater. You can purchase the beef from them, and you know it's homegrown and it's good, and you don't have to worry about who handled it or what handled it. You just got to get it done. Flexitarians, one more. This 19% of consumers eat meat, but they will eat other products as well. That number has doubled in the past year. To reach them, Marketers need to emphasize protein on beef product packaging. We allowed the rest of the store to grab our word. We need to make protein like a neon sign on each package because consumers are looking for it. The key takeaway from all this I just discussed with you is cattle producers is that transparency remains important. It fosters trust. 55% of the consumers believe it's important for grocery stores and brands to provide information on where the livestock was raised and how it was processed. They're looking for the storytelling right there in the store so they can feel good about what they're eating going forward. Reaching consumers with being authentic is going to take many methods, from partner with TikTok influencers to providing more information on the production process. This will ensure beef continues to be at the center of the plate for generations to come. So there you have it. And it's a true story right there. Things have changed so much since this pandemic started. But, you know, I see it coming back. I had a couple people that for last minute changes on some beef that I took in to get processed first part of this week. They had to back out, whether, you know, for numerous reasons. It didn't take me but about a couple hours, and I had that half and that quarter resold. And people are wanting to, if they got the freezer room, they're wanting to buy beef that's grown local and processed local. So big shout out to all you people that buy local and have it processed. We got processors everywhere around here. Ray Shones, Keith's Butcher Shop, the Butcher Block at Canute. There's three of them right there. We got Route 66. We got Quartz Mountain at Altus. We got one at Shamrock. We got a lot more. I still haven't memorized them all, and I haven't found out what the name of the new one is at Thomas, and there's one at Arnett, so there's no excuse for you guys not to have your meat processed local. Anyway, so when I get back, I guess I will announce the winners of a couple sets of tickets to Sugar Creek next weekend. So I'll be right back after this. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
This is Jerry Nine, owner of the Woodward Livestock Auction. First sale last Tuesday, January the 18th, we sold 533 cows, bulls, and calves. Thursday, January the 20th, we sold 4,675 calves and feeders for a total of 5,208 cattle for the week. Killing cows up to 2 higher, bulls 3 to 4 higher. Tuesday, better killing cows 70 to 76.50. Thin cows bring 55 to 71.5, with the bulls bringing 80 up to 99. 3 to 4 year old open cows to breed bring 78 to 86. If you'd gone directly to the packer, you would have cost yourself $10 to $20 a hundred on them younger cows that's good to breed. Also on the bred cows, anything old, bred 5 months or longer more, bring a lot more than packer price. 5 to 8 year old bred cows, $900 to $1,100. 9 and older bred cows, $835 to $950. With a 5 to 8 year old pairs, $1,210 to $1,500. Under steer cattle, 3 to 350 weight steers, $212.50 to $227. 4 to 450, $2 to $218. 5 to 550, $184 up to $208. 6 to 650, $166 to $188. 7 to 750, $155 to $166. 8 to 850, $152.5 to $160.50. With our 9 to 950 steers, $149 to $152. 1,000 50-pound steers, $139 to $144.75. On our heifers, 3 to 4 weight heavers, $174 to $184. 4 to 450, $140 to $177. 5 to 550, $155 to $167. 6 to 650, $145 to $158. 7 to 750 heifers, $148 to $153 and a quarter. 8 to 850, $140.50 to $150. And 913-pound heifers bring $135. Extremely good market with lots of good cattle selling. Steer cattle, 5 to 550. Topping at 208. 6 to 650, 188. And our 7 to 750 heifers topping 153.25. For this Tuesday, January the 25th, we got 40 bred cows, plus we got 35 bred cows and pairs. More by sale time. We'll see you this Tuesday, 8 a.m. sharp. Thanks again, Jerry Nine, and the Woodward Livestock Auction.
From sunup till sundown, we know your irrigation equipment needs to be as hardworking as you, because we all know a farmer's job is never done. Valley is your strength in the field. We're the everyman brand. No matter your operational setup, we have the irrigation equipment and technology to move you forward. Valley products are built to last, easy to operate, and ahead of the curve. Durable, reliable, and built tough. This is Valley.
Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325 or online at knutsonirrigation.com.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden. Complete nutrition for every animal, that's what you'll find in HiPro Feeds. At HiPro, their commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the most out of every animal. Hobart Farm and Garden in Hobart, Oklahoma is your local HiPro Feeds dealer. Providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks, see their ad in the Penny News and check them out on Facebook. See all they have to offer at HobartFarmAndGarden.com. That's HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
The Day in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
Wow, that's the most Texas I've got since I started the show, I think. That's great. Some people wanting to go see them bad. Well, I might have some more tickets next week. You never know. But first, let's do our Long Ranger. 31 degrees currently, 21 wind chilled, winds 13 miles an hour out of the south, gusting up to 17. Today, mostly sunny, 35 is a high. We're getting close to it. Tonight, 16 degrees. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, 49 with no wind. And tomorrow night, clear and cold at 24. Sunday, warms back up in the 50s, almost 60 degrees, 58 for a high with northwest winds at 6 to 10. So not bad for sunny Sunday in January. Monday, 60 degrees, southwest winds, 6 to 10 miles an hour, mostly clear and cold. 25 degrees Monday night, and we got another cold front easing in on us. And looks like Tuesday, only 44 for a high. So there is your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast. Well, let's get to the text line to announce the winners. First one went. Western Oklahoma Livestock was their favorite, and that was Matthew Thomas. And congratulations on the first set of tickets. And then the second one was Grady McConnell, who liked Elk City Livestock Auction. So anyway, it was counting them all. There's like 12, 14 of them. It was a toss-up between Elk City and Western Oklahoma Livestock. So Brandon's doing his job. Everybody's liking your auction barn. So there you go. I will have these tickets in the front office on the south end of the building with your name on it. So you can come by anytime between now and next Friday and pick them up. So congratulations to Matthew Thomas and Grady McConnell on that. So, guess what's going on tomorrow, everybody, at 1 o'clock, right here on the south side of I-40 on the west side of Elk City on 34 Highway headed to Carter, except you can't go to Carter from there because the bridge is out. But anyway, Hudson Angus Farms annual bull sale is this Saturday at 1 o'clock. It's tomorrow. It's 1 o'clock at the farm near Elk City. I just gave you directions to it. It's just on the south side of the exit there going to Carter. Selling 95 head of feed intake tested 2-year-old bulls, 18-month-old bulls, and females. For more information, just get on the website for the sale and directions, HudsonAngusFarms.com. They always, Bert and Johnny, they always have a great sale out there. So anyway, you need some Angus bulls, there's your place to go. If you're going to get I'll ask that question because I honestly don't have a clue. If you're going to get, everybody listen up, text me if you got this answer. If you're going to get a Texas Longhorn, what is the proper age which one betters the demand, a male or a female? I've never owned a Texas Longhorn. I know we have people around here that have them and have owned them. So if anybody can answer this gentleman's question, I guess it's a gentleman, person, how let's restate it, person, if you're going to get a Texas Longhorn, what's the proper age and which is better for demand, a male or a female? So if you'll text into the text line at 225-9697 if you got any recommendations for this person on that deal. So anyway, that's all we got going there. Let's talk some banking if you want to. Rural bankers ranked the greatest threats for 2022. For 14 straight months, the rural economy has posted healthy and consistent growth. This according to the Rural Main Street Index, RMI. For January 2021, the RMI set at 61.1. That is down from 66.7 in December. The index ranges for between 0 and 100 for reading of 50 representing growth neutral and is generated by Money Survey of bank CEOs in rural areas of a 10-state region that is very dependent on agriculture or in energy. Solid grain prices, the Federal Reserve's record low short-term interest rates, and growing agriculture exports have underpinned the rural Main Street economy, says Ernie Cross, who's with the Creighton's Hyder College of Business and leads the RMI. This month's bankers were asked to identify the greatest 2022 risk for farmers in their area. And here's the thread of rankings from the bankers. Number one, rising input prices. That's all threat to us right now, not only to the bankers, but to us. Disruptions of delivery for farm inputs, rising interest rates, less federal financial support, and tariffs and trade restrictions. Increased input costs have raised our average farmer break-even points, but current commodity prices still produce moderate gains in all areas of the financial statements, according to Jim Brown, CEO of Hardin Savings Bank in El Dorado, Iowa. Our loan reviews show an increase in working capital, net worth, and lower leverage in almost every case. On the average, bank CEOs expect the Federal Reserve to raise short-term interest rates by 0.70%, that's 70 basic points, in 2022. Around 19% of the bankers expect 4 or more 0.25% rate hikes in 2022. Inflation is a serious problem here. Gasoline prices have nearly doubled since November of 2020. Added Jim Eckert, who is the president of the Anchor State Bank in Anchor, Illinois. Food prices are well above what's claimed by the government. The region's farmland price index decrease is very strong at 88.5 from December's record high of 90. January's reading represented the 16th straight month the index has moved above the growth neutral. The January Farm Equipment Sales Index slipped to a very healthy 72.4 from 74.1 in December. This is the 14th straight month that the index has advanced above growth neutral reading. Over the past several months are the strongest string of monthly readings recorded since the spring of 2011. After declining for five consecutive months, the confidence index, which reflects bank CEO expectations for the economy 6 months out, rose for a second straight month to 61.1 from 55.2 in December. So lastly, the RMI, which started in 2005, represents an early snapshot of the economy of the rural agriculture and energy dependent portions of the nation. It focuses on 200 rural communities with an average population of 13. So if some of you didn't know what that RMI was, that's what it does. So it looks pretty good, but I just, man, from what I'm seeing, the input is I know the grain prices are steady or are slowly going up also, and are up from last year by far, but wee doggies, that input, you know, your chemicals and your fuel, everything's doubled or tripled, and fertilizers doubled, and farmer and rancher is going to have to think a little harder this year than they have in the previous year or two, because things have changed, and you're going to have to watch your input to make a profit, or if not, you're going to lose out on that deal. So anyway, well, I hope you guys have a great weekend. I didn't get any response on the Longhorn. Sorry, I don't have a clue. I know people that have them, but I'll find out for you, though. How's that? Anyway, so be sure, and one more time before the show's over here, Paragon TV, Paragon Sports, got it going on today. There's 10, 11 games going on, but for you people, the Elk City versus Star Spencer and the boys game at 2:30 coming up here in about an hour and a half. It'll also be on Cool 94. The Bi-County, Hammond versus Merritt girls, 98.1 KDS, and by county, Merritt versus Ceiling Boys, 98.1 on KDS. And here we go. Oh, yes, ma'am. Yeah, oh, yes, sir. This is Ron. Not Ron Hayes, is it? You're not trying to trick me with the ag question on our deal. Also, on Channel 9 today at 5 o'clock, if you're home and you're watching, Hannah Scroll will be doing a series on how drought affects farming and ranching in Oklahoma. And I guess I was her first one to interview with yesterday. So anyway, I'll be on there. Hope I did good for you guys representing farmers and ranchers out here, talking about how the drought affects farming and ranching. And I explained to it as simple as way as I could. So it'll be on 5 o'clock today on Channel 9. So Lacey set me up on this deal. So anyway, we're good to go. So join her at, I'm probably going to be right before the weather because she is a meteorologist and a reporter. So anyway, you guys have a wonderful weekend. You've been listening to Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. Stay warm and God bless.
The commercials have lost power. We've got to go back to the music, Captain.
Can you increase your power?
Yeah.
Okay.
Here we go. Another long set of country starts now.
You're in cowboy country. 96.5 KECO.